A snapshot of the philosophies of Frank Robinson. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. On August 10th, the helicopter industry bid farewell to a guy who changed it dramatically. Frank Robinson announced that with FAA certification of the Robinson R-66 turbine helicopter imminent, and having reached the age of 80 in January, he would retire from the company he founded in 1979. It's hard to know if Frank could have imagined at the start that he'd wind up selling more civilian helicopters every year than any other company, but he did it. The R-66 is now in production, but back at Hilly Expo 2008, it had only been prototyped a few months earlier. Frank talked with reporters about the development effort and noted that his company's 2007 sales, with many units going to export, had attracted the attention of President George W. Bush. This session produced questions and answers that ended up drawing Frank into a discussion of some of his philosophies about helicopters in general. I thought it might be fun to open this time capsule from 2 years ago. Because there was no mic for the reporters, I'll repeat their questions ahead of each answer.
Last year was a very exceptional year for us. It's the best year that we've ever had in terms of the number of units that we produced and the revenues that we produced. So I really don't have anything to complain about for 2007. We produced 823 helicopters, which is a new record both for us and for the industry. We had, in addition to producing all those helicopters, the fact that 70% of them were actually exported outside the United States, that got the attention of a lot of people, including the President of the United States. And he had his staff look into that, and he asked if I would give him an invitation to come out and visit our factory since we were producing so many helicopters. And also the fact that the helicopters that we produce, all the components, a very, very high percentage of everything that goes into that helicopter is all American made. And that really appealed to him. So he came out, he actually flew Air Force One out to LAX. At LAX, he picked up Arnold Schwarzenegger, and they boarded one of five big, huge Sikorsky Marine Corps helicopters. And that caravan flew from LAX down to Torrance, and boy, did it attract a lot of attention because it made an awful lot of noise. But I probably will go ahead and ask myself the first question because I know you're going to ask me the same one. So, well, what's going on with the R-66 turbine helicopter? And we've been flying it now for several months. I've flown it myself, and it flies very well. It flies, frankly, flies very similar to an R-44. Anyone that can fly an R-44 is going to be able to fly that turbine helicopter with no problem. A few minor little procedural changes in the starting procedure, but they're very minor. And otherwise, it flies just like an R-44. So that has all been good. It has a little bit of that whine that turbines are supposed to have when it starts up, just enough to make them all happy. But it's the vibration level felt probably a little bit less than the R-44. The speed is probably either the same or maybe a little bit higher. And, of course, the rate of climb is higher because it's got that power surplus that the Raven 2 doesn't have, although it has a good margin, too. The turbine engine does give you a big advantage there. So everything is going well with it. It's going slow, a lot slower than it should. I get very impatient, but yet we want to be absolutely sure that we do everything right, that we have checked everything as we go along, that we don't have any surprises later on. We don't really have a cash flow problem right now, so I don't have to do like I used to do with the R-22 and go through all sorts of little gymnastics to get people to pay in advance for their helicopters and all that. This time we have the luxury of being able to take everything in order and in stride. So that's where the R-66 is. When will it be done? I don't know. Typically, a program that we're of the type that we have now entered takes anywhere from 1 to 2 years.
At this point, Frank took questions, and the first one was, which engine is currently being flown in the R-66?
The one that we're flying today, now, finally, which we just got fairly recently, is a Rolls-Royce RR-300 engine, and it is, I believe, very, very close to what will be the final production engine. Before, we did a lot of testing with a kind of a modification of the, well, we used to call it the Allison 250, but it's gone through many evolutions as well. And there's a lot of similarities between the two engines, but I think the changes that have been made by Rolls-Royce in this engine are all very much to the good. And getting rid of that axial flow compressor and all those little blades and stators and all that, I think was a big step forward. And replacing all of that with a simple, single-stage, centrifugal blower, and like the bigger turbines have. I think it's a very good engine, and it's fits in our helicopter very well. And the way we've got it mounted in the helicopter and the access that we have for it is going to make it a much easier to maintain and work on and do whatever inspections and this sort of thing that they have to do otherwise. So I think it's both a good engine that we have now and a good installation for that engine. I think you're all going to be very happy with it.
Are there any plans for a Robinson helicopter larger than the R-66?
I personally would like to design a larger helicopter that was a utility helicopter that carried both additional cargo and 4 or 5 people. But it's not easy to do. There's a lot of things that make it difficult to design one in that size range.
The Robinson R-22 has become ubiquitous as a primary trainer, and some don't think that's the best choice. One of those people is Frank Robinson. More in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Freedom through innovation. It's what led us to develop Cirrus Flying 2.0, the framework for a bold new take on private aviation. And as a result, the gap between the aircraft we produce and those of our competitors continues to widen. Cirrus knows where the personal aircraft industry is headed. We're already there.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack. We're listening to Frank Robinson, who retired last month from the helicopter company he founded in 1979, answering reporter questions at Healy Expo 2008. The Robinson R-22 has become the world's favorite primary trainer, despite some characteristics that make it challenging to fly. Frank responded to a question from a reporter about his opinion on the 22 as a trainer.
I really would like to see the Raven 1 R-44, the less expensive parallel valve carbureted engine. It's a good engine. It's reliable. It's not as powerful as the fuel-injected engine in the Raven 2, but it's been a good, reliable engine, and I would really like to see it replace most of the R-22s that are used for primary training, particularly primary training of older pilots, because I think that it has such good margins in all respects, such good auto-rotation characteristics, and I'm sure it will be effective in reducing the accident rate. And I've already got an agreement with Pathfinder Insurance that if we can do that, that they will lower the insurance rates on the R-44 Raven 1 used in the flight schools for primary training down to where it was for the R-22. So about the only thing we can't do anything to about to equalize those two is the fuel consumption. The R-44 Raven 1 is still going to burn more fuel than the R-22. I don't know. I'm going to guess probably 9 gallons per hour versus 15 gallons per hour in a high-speed cruise, and less in a training environment. But that's the only thing that we can't do anything to help on. Pretty much everything else, including parts and initial price and all that sort of thing, we've already done a lot in that direction and will continue to do more.
How did the bankruptcy of Silver State Helicopters affect Robinson?
It affected us very little. It affected us a little because we lost some money on it too, but it was a very sad thing. The suddenness of it, I think, caught all of us off guard. Many of us had always thought that Silver State was building a house of cards, but we were always following our usual procedure where we don't let anything leave our factory that isn't fully paid for with a cashier's check and or wire transfer, and that's been a good policy. So we didn't really end up in a position where Silver State owed us a lot of money. The ones I really feel sorry for are all those students out there that paid Silver State large amounts of money, $60,000 or $70,000 in many cases, just a few days before they went flip-flop. And that was wrong. That was absolutely wrong. Other than that, we had no connection with Silver State. A lot of people thought we did. We didn't. We were the manufacturer of the helicopters that they used, most of them. And we sold them the helicopters just like we would any other dealer, any other customer. And that was it. So we have always kept ourselves very well protected, and that goes all the way back to our history. Because we cannot afford to get caught in some scam, which that Silver State turned out to be.
Have recent issues with rotor blade leading edges led to any thoughts of using composite blades on Robinson helicopters?
No, my experience and opinions on composites versus metal, it still would be the same. The composite blades make a lot of sense for military helicopters because they have a very low radar reflectivity and therefore are more immune to radar-directed missiles. So the military wants it for that purpose. They also have better ballistic damage tolerance. They can take a hit with not only 50 caliber but also 20 millimeter, and still the cracks will not propagate to the same extent with the composites that they will with metal. So the military promoted the composites, but they're a lot more expensive, a lot more difficult to control the quality of, and they're very subject to sand or dust or even rain erosion. In the case of the civil helicopters, like the ones that we make, our requirements are just the opposite. We want a high radar reflectivity so that we can be seen on radar and avoid congestion or collisions. And we don't really plan on flying where somebody's going to be shooting at us all the time. So the ballistic damage tolerance is not that important. That's why we have really, really good erosion protection on the leading edge, much better than the other helicopters.
Are there any plans to offer glass panels?
Well, I have a lot of mixed emotions on the glass cockpits. I feel very strongly, safety is number one with us. And anything that distracts that pilot from concentrating on flying his helicopter and keeping his eyes outside the cockpit, I feel very strongly there. Now, if they have to get it to the point where it really does not require any concentrated focus or look at that instrument panel, and you can just be flying the helicopter, looking outside, and just with just a glance, get every piece of information you need, then that might be nice. I have an open mind, Eric. I really do, you know. But we're not going to put something in there that's going to reduce the safety of the aircraft. So we'll see how it goes.
Are there any changes planned for the flight controls in your helicopters? What about an autopilot?
We have been working with a company for the development, not of an autopilot, because I don't think you either need nor want an autopilot in a light helicopter, because you just aren't flying cross-country like you do with an airplane where you need an autopilot. And you can't fly instruments anyhow, so right now that would be way down on the priority list. What I would like to see developed would be a good, reliable, inexpensive stability augmentation system that would give it the same stability that, at least the same stability that an airplane has.
Frank Robinson's philosophies have heavily influenced the civilian helicopter market for decades. More lately, especially in the area of glass panels, they've given rise to an aftermarket for STCs. The comments you heard today were recorded at Healy Expo 2008. Find Frank Robinson's comments at this year's event in the archives of Aero TV by going to aero-news.net and entering Frank Robinson in the search box. Follow the company's progress at robinsonhelicopter.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.